Evening, boys.
Evening, Sally.
Welcome to The Chatting, your local podcast. I'm Rob.
I'm Kirk.
I'm Mark.
And I'm the other Mark. 3 pints, Sally. And what are you having?
I'll have a sex in a driveway.
Cheers. I'll fetch him over.
Evening, boys.
Hey, Rob.
How are we doing? How are we doing? All right.
All good, mate.
Yeah.
You?
Yeah. I'm good. I'm very good, actually.
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember when I told you about the John Wickersham Awards that I'd put myself up for the Glastonbury video?
Is that the guy that kills everyone because they killed his dog?
No, it's not, Mark.
Oh. Different one to that, is it?
Yeah.
Remind me, Rob.
So, it's the Caravan Writers Guild have a competition every year where they're looking for... one's a journalism award and the other one is a video journalism award. And I submitted the Glastonbury video that I made. And
okay. Is it just for like caravan?
Yeah, right, okay. Absolutely, yeah. And
do you want a cup of tea, Mildred?
Yeah. I've been shortlisted.
Oh,
I mean,
well done.
I mean, the top
congratulations.
Three.
Hey.
Yes. Well done. Top how many?
Three.
Top three?
Yeah.
Wow.
So I'm in the chance for an award.
Ooh. That's brilliant.
Yes.
So is it just three of you nominated? Is that what you mean?
I don't know how many entrants there were, but it's been whittled down to three.
Three, right, okay,
yeah.
I'm with you.
So, yeah.
So that's you and two others then, yeah?
That is correct.
Three, just to confirm.
Three in total.
Yeah. So, yeah, so I'm excited. I'm looking forward to it. The awards are next week, so...
And when, right, so you'll know in a week?
Yeah, in a week.
Are you going?
I am, yes.
Good lad.
Yeah.
Where are they?
In Birmingham. Yeah, so we're we going to the Caravan and Motorhome show for the day, and then it's in the evening.
In the same place?
No, it's at some golf venue.
Ooh.
Yeah, it sounds really nice.
Are you taking your caravan to this golf place?
No, I'm not. No, because the next day we go to Malta. So,
okay.
So
you love caravanning that much, you're off to Malta on a plane.
I know.
Yeah.
Fake!
To watch you take that to festival. Festival.
Take that festival?
Yes.
Oh, take that there?
I hope so.
As in the real take that?
The real take that,
oh,
yeah.
Right, okay.
They're literally taking over the whole island, Malta.
The whole island?
The whole island, yeah.
That's called a coup, isn't it?
It's the actual festival is over four different venues at literally completely different parts of the island.
Wow.
So, yeah, should be good. There's quite a few other acts on there. There's Sam Ryder.
Yeah.
Is it what's the lead singer of M People?
Heather Small.
Yeah. There's quite a few acts, all at different venues. I can't remember his name now. One of the guys intake that. Jason, he's DJing, he's doing a DJing set. What's his name now? The Gok one. He's got a DJing set.
He's
meant to be a really good DJ.
Brilliant. I've only seen him on social media when, you know, on lockdown and stuff like that. I thought, is that, you know, when you come across something, and I thought, is that Gok one?
Yeah.
But he was playing a tune. So yeah. I like listened to it, and before I know it, I'd been watching him for about an hour. Absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, I've heard
absolutely
lots of good things
brilliant
about him. So yeah, so that should be really good, and that's the awards are literally the night before. So I don't know what time they'll finish, but our flight the next morning is at 6:20 a.m.
So you're in a situation where this month you could be a two-time award winner.
Yes,
one for your video and one for the podcast.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be amazing?
Absolutely.
I mean, just one would be amazing, but to win both...
If you could choose, though, it'd be the podcast one, wouldn't it?
Absolutely.
Of course it would. I was going to ask you that. Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm excited.
Oh, brilliant. Well done, mate.
Yes.
Well done.
Thank you.
Well done.
Thank you. And how are you guys?
Yeah.
Anyone else?
I'm okay.
Yeah?
I'm all right. I mean, Mark seems to be sat there with an addition to his body.
Yeah. Yes.
For the benefit of the tape, he's got a sling on.
I've got one thing in addition and something else that seems to be missing because my bicep doesn't seem to be attached to where it should be.
What's happened?
Well, I would believe it. I will pick
it. Is it related to your glasses? Did you lose your glasses and fall over?
No. Okay. No.
Did you ever fight with a broomstick?
I tried picking up Keir Starmer's wallet.
Was you sober?
Yeah, I was sober. I was at work.
All right.
And
just because you're at work don't mean you're sober, does it?
Well, yes, it does. But so I was picking something up that's not particularly heavy, and something went twang in my arm, and my bicep's further up my arm than it should be, so I've got to go to the hospital again and have it looked at and see what the damage is.
That sounds painful.
So I'm strapped up currently. It's actually all right as it's strapped up, but it's I can't use it very well.
Wow.
Yeah, well.
So yeah, getting old that. And all that, it's good for your body's letting me down slowly, bit by bit.
I hope it heals fast, mate.
You and me both.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I know you're going on holiday soon, don't you?
Yeah, 3 weeks.
Where do you go?
We're going to Ben El Medina.
Oh, very nice.
So I'll be swimming round in a circle with my one arm stroke.
I don't think I've ever heard that.
It's near Malaga.
All right, yeah, I've heard of Malaga.
So, hang on, so you've got a caravan and you're not using your caravan.
I'm glad you picked up on that.
Because I was going to pull him up on that.
Yeah. Oh, it's not me that's on the internet telling everyone how fantastic it is. Oh, hang on a minute. It is, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
I'm just not very good with a camera like Robbie's.
But, well, I hope you get better soon.
Thank you.
Yes, I hope it does. It's weird seeing you in, you know, damaged.
I know.
To be honest.
It is strange. It's
the thing is, it's not surprising, though, is it?
Well, the thing is Mark, listen, Mark's always been, what's the word I'm looking for?
Clumsy?
A bit overzealous with things and stuff like that.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
It's normally other things that get broke, not him.
And it's gone full circle, hasn't it? Listen, I've got to tell you something that really... shocked me the other day, and we went to Asda, right? And honestly, okay. I was busting for the toilet. So Ellen went off with trolley, and I said, right, I'm just gonna nip into the toilet for a wee. And I went into the toilet, and there was a guy walking out of the toilet eating an ice cream.
That's a bit weird.
Yeah, I double took, and then I was like, what on earth? And anyway, so then I went to urinal, and then there was a guy washing his hands at sink, and he turned around, and he went, did he really just walk out of here eating that ice cream? And I was like, yep. I'm like, what on earth?
I know.
What? And eating an ice cream in the toilet.
How do you hold an ice cream what in your was mouth in while you're peeing?
Yeah. I don't know whether he'd walked out of the urinal or whether he'd been to the cubicle, but he clearly hadn't washed his hands because he rolled in an ice cream.
And was it like a... An ice lolly or
a cone with a... Like a... Mr. Whippy ice cream, proper with a cone. Yeah.
That is weird. I mean,
when you go to the toilet, you normally make a Mr. Whippy. You're not normally eating a Mr. Whippy.
Yeah, he walked out eating it, and we were like, what, you dirty get? Do you know what I mean?
Wow. Yeah. How old were we? No, young guy.
Oh, no, he would have been in his 20s.
Oh, so young, too. Right,
you were old enough to know that, you know, it's not really a hygienic thing to be, well, eating anything in the toilet, really, let alone an ice cream.
And but you didn't just... And you've not got to the bottom of it. You need to stop him.
I'm not going to follow him around. Has it? Not at all.
But I don't like stories. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know why that happened.
Did I just catch you saying a young dude?
A young dude.
A young dude.
Wow, really showing your age there, Mark.
Wait, were you went to your young dude?
Well, 20s, I suppose.
Young dude.
I suppose. But yeah, it definitely means he didn't wash his hands today because there's no way you're trying to balance a Mr. Whippy ice cream in your mouth.
Absolutely. Exactly. Yeah. And let alone anything that's attached to it that's been like, it doesn't even matter thinking about it, does it?
Not really.
No.
And then he's going to go around to fresh veg or whatever and pick up whole... Well, he's what not, is it? He's probably in
it. I mean, it's just scary in general to think about places like supermarkets or anywhere that has fresh stuff with people walking around and not knowing what the hygiene's like.
Yeah.
Like, that was a good thing. That was probably one of the best things that came out of COVID was that having the hand sanitizers everywhere.
Yeah.
Where people could use them. And you were almost like, oh, yeah, things are a bit cleaner.
When you go
now to
a pick and mix and you get home and everything tasted like hand sanitizer.
Well, they've done it before, haven't they? Where they've like checked, they've done swabs of like, you know, like your steering wheel in your car and, you know, stuff like, especially like secondhand cars and they've found like, you know, feces and bacteria. Yeah.
They do it when you drive to France, don't they? Did you have it done to you, Rob? When you drove over,
what?
When you went to France, but they'll swab the door handles of the car and stuff.
No, they didn't. No, they didn't actually.
I think it's a random thing. Well, obviously, they want to make sure that people aren't ferrying stuff in and out the country. But yeah,
more like drugs though.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
they'll swab the door handles of the car and if you're the one that gets randomly stopped, then they'll do the steering wheel.
I thought you meant they did that and they went, oh, your steering wheel's a bit dirty. You need to clean it.
Oh, yeah.
That's what you meant. That's what I thought.
Well, hang on a minute. You've got a bit of COVID on your indicator.
That's what I thought.
No.
Yeah, I suppose it makes sense that they're doing it for drugs and stuff, but they just do they do it for everybody or just, well, obviously not if Rob.
Random.
If Rob,
yeah, yeah.
Unless Rob just looks like one of them that just doesn't do drugs.
Just looks like a trustworthy person.
Yeah, I doubt it. So what drugs have they got you on then, Mark?
To be honest, I'm only on ibuprofen and paracetamol.
All right, okay.
Yeah, because like I said, I'm not in loads of pain while it's strapped up.
Not even on the codeine.
Not even on. No, definitely not on the codeine. No.
Is that? Can you actually get codeine? Like from a. Like, can you go into Morrison's and get codeine? Or do you have to get it from a pharmacy?
Well, I think you can buy it from a pharmacy. So I don't think you don't need it prescribed, do you?
No. I didn't think you needed it prescribed, but I always remember...
Is it behind the counter, though, is it?
I think so.
Yeah, that's what I wasn't sure about, whether you just walk up to a shelf and get it like you can get paracetamols. No, is it a little bit more than that?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Hay fever tablets used to be like that.
Really?
I know. They're not now, I don't think. But they used to be.
I know they're definitely relaxing the laws or the rules on what drugs you can get from a pharmacy now without a prescription, aren't they? I don't get antihistamines, though, having to be behind a counter.
You mean the hay fever thing?
Yeah.
I'm talking a long time ago. I'm talking like 90s or whatever.
You can't imagine that someone would go in there and, I don't know, I can't stop taking... these antihistamines. Is antihistamine something that you can actually be addicted to, or
I wouldn't have thought so. We buy them in bulk off Amazon.
Bulk,
right?
Yeah,
because people that are hay fever sufferers, they need loads.
I can only buy one packet from Tesco's.
I've got something that happens, and we've never been able to. The doctors can't nail it, and no matter who I've spoken to, can't nail it. And every so often, it could be once in 12 months, it could be twice in 12 months, it could be not. It could be once every 4 years, and I'll just come out in hives, literally.
All right.
Head to toe.
Really?
I'll get like a burning sensation on my wrists, and then it'll on my legs, and then literally my entire body just gets covered in hives. And so the doctor said to me, look, what you're better off doing is just taking an antihistamine every day as a precautionary measure.
Yeah, yeah.
Just to, you know... limit the chance of it happening. It does sometimes still occur, and then I take a second one when it does occur, and then usually within about half an hour, 45 minutes, I recover. But yeah, and
I forget that antihistamines aren't just for hay fever.
No,
because I always just assume that's what they're used for. You know what I mean? Which is why I thought then, who is just going to be going into a pharmacy and, you know, they have to be behind the counter because so people can't buy them in bulk because they've got an addiction to.
It's to subdue the body's reaction to an allergy, isn't it?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just bizarre.
I mean, I definitely get there's plenty of drugs that should be locked away so that people can't just openly freely go in and buy as many as they want.
Did you see that documentary on Netflix called Painkiller? Have you seen that?
Oh, no. Do you know what, actually?
No. Recent.
I feel like I have watched it.
I think it's been on Netflix for about a year.
Is it a series where it does different ones, or is it just all about?
It's all about one thing. It's all about one thing. So it's all about the opioid crisis in America.
Oh.
And literally how they. So have you ever heard of a drug called Oxy? So people were saying they was addicted to Oxy.
No.
Again, it was mainly an American thing, and I suppose this is the difference, isn't it, between American healthcare and. It's all about that they got this drug, this Oxy, which is a type of opioid, which is an amazing painkiller.
Right.
And it is. It, from what you can see on the documentary and everything, it's life-changing to a lot of people. You know, people that have got chronic, like, back pain or anything like that. Mm. It's literally changed their life. But what they didn't do, they didn't express or indicate how addictive it were.
Right.
Okay. And it was massively... addictive, so like the obviously the pharmaceutical companies were getting the doctors to prescribe it because it's all about money, isn't it?
Absolutely,
all about money. And these people were getting this Oxy drug, and obviously it was changing their life, but they just kept upping and upping the amount. To have the same effect, but they just got so addicted to it, and it was a national crisis in America of these people being addicted to opioids because obviously. You know, if you talk about addiction, you kind of think, don't you, about either illegal stuff or stuff like, you know, social stuff.
Yeah.
If you were going to a doctor and a doctor were prescribing you tablets to help with your pain, and then you were taking that and it was helping with your pain, you wouldn't even consider the fact that you were getting addicted to it, would you?
No,
not at all.
It's a good program. I mean, it is a good documentary, and it's definitely eye-opening.
I mean, but that is actually a thing, isn't it, in itself, that... That's how a lot of people's addictions start when it comes to that type of drug. When they don't go looking for it.
Well, no one wants to be addicted to anything, do they?
Well, no. Well, yeah, absolutely. But it's the things like that where they start on it. Who was it? There's quite a few famous people that have died of overdoses, but also from being addicted to particular drugs, haven't they?
Yeah.
Matthew Perry, not a recent one that was said that he was some.
Well, he struggled all his life, didn't he? With addiction.
And I think it was. In fact, I think there's now a court case for the fact that he was prescribed drugs that shouldn't have been put together.
His doctor's been charged, hasn't he?
He's pled guilty.
Yeah. Pled guilty. Yeah.
Really?
He's pled guilty. Yeah.
I mean, he were taking obviously. Yes, he were taking prescription drugs, but he were also obviously doing drugs on as well.
Right.
You know,
so
what
it
weren't prescribed.
It was a concoction of different drugs.
It was like Michael Jackson, weren't it? Yeah. His doctor pled guilty.
Yes.
You know, and it's not necessarily guilty that they've. It's what's the word I'm looking for? They've not behaved in the right way. As in the
negligent.
Doctor, negligent, thank you. The doctor should have said no. It's not the fact that he provided anything illegal, but that it was in, you know, as a doctor, they should have said, no, you're not having any more, no, you can't have that much, or whatever. But because the people they were dealing with, and no doubt, again, money.
Absolutely. Cross my palm with silver.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I suppose it is exactly... Sorry, Kirk. I suppose it is the same when it comes to drink. People that are addicted to alcohol. You don't start drinking... thinking that you're going to get addicted to it, do you?
No.
You're drinking for pleasure, and then you consume more and more, and before you know it, you become...
Drunk.
Dependent. Drunk.
And addicted. Yeah.
And the feeling of being drunk, and you like that feeling of drunk, be it that it takes your mind off the reality of your life, or... I don't know, because I've never been addicted to alcohol, but, you know, not to the point where I've been... dependent on it, but I guess it's just a steady and slow.
I think, that, like you've said there, I think that's the same for any addiction. That it starts off as something and ends up in something else.
Yeah.
Would any of you guys around the table say that you're addicted to anything?
Not specifically. No, I go through phases where Ellen would say that I'm obsessive.
Yeah.
On certain things.
Yeah.
And that thing will change from one thing to another.
Aren't you addicted?
Like ice cream.
Well, that's what I was going to say.
Oh, sorry, Mark.
No, it's fine.
I thought you were going to say alcohol, to be honest.
I go in on something and then it becomes, I'm fixated on it and that will change to something else. So it's almost like a flavour of the month thing.
But in a kind of sort of an addictive way, you are sort of kind of addicted to ice cream, aren't you? And would you say?
No.
I think addiction's probably the wrong word. I get where you're coming from, that if it's a desire to have it...
Probably addicted. Because I sometimes get confused between addiction and compulsion.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
You know, being compulsive... I think that's a thing. That is an actual thing, isn't it? Where there's a line between the two. And sometimes it's a compulsion to something rather than an addiction to something.
Yeah, I mean, what I describe as an addiction, and I'm no doctor.
It's
so,
an uncontrollable urge to do something, isn't it?
Well, I don't even think it's an urge. I think it's
desire.
I think it's a case of you're dependent on it.
Yeah.
I think
I think there's different types, isn't there? Because, like you say, you'll have things where your body is actually
physically dependent.
Physically dependent, where you almost have to be, well. I think based on what I've seen in the news and things, you know, in life where people have had to be weaned off something because, you know, I think you what do you call it, going cold turkey or whatever, and I think it can cause more problems. And but there are other things like social activities that you know, they say that the internet, for example, is something that people are getting addicted to. You know,
absolutely.
It says
there's lots of things.
Addiction is a chronic condition that involves a compulsive need to take or use something despite the harmful consequences. Mm. It can be physical or
psychological.
psychological need, and it can impact daily life.
But
it does apply to a lot of things. I mean, I know we're talking about the most common things like, you know, alcohol, drugs, you know,
gambling,
but there is, you know, food. I mean, food can be addicted to some people.
Mm.
You know, there's lots of things.
Well, a massive one is coffee.
Yeah.
And tea, but given the fact that it's got caffeine in it.
Yeah.
I'll never forget, honestly, you'll not believe this, me and Kirk, we were talking, it was probably 3 or 4 months ago, might be longer than that,
actually. Yeah, maybe 6 or 7, but yeah.
And
Don't you talk every week with him on this podcast?
Well, it was just on, but this was just on a phone call, and he said, you're right. I went, do you know something? I've got a lousy headache. And he went, go on. I went... Well, I decided this morning, that morning, but a couple of days prior to that, I just thought, you know what? I'm going to stop drinking coffee.
Okay.
And then after a couple of days, I was starting to get this really bad headache. And he went, you will not believe this. And I said, what? He went, I've done exactly the same. and I feel like I've got a hangover and I've got this banging headache. And he'd literally stopped drinking coffee either a day or two days, either side of it. We'd both, without even talking to each other, we'd both done exactly the same thing and both started suffering in exactly the same way. And then consequently, both started drinking coffee again.
Yeah.
Because they were like, I can't cope with this.
Yeah. How many cups of coffee slash tea do you think you drink a day?
Well, I can tell you what it were probably about 7 months ago, when because I have cut down on my caffeine.
Yeah.
And I reckon I was drinking around about 30 cups of black coffee a day.
30?
Wow.
That is a lot.
Jesus Christ.
I mean, I tend to mix. I'll have a tea in the morning, then I'll have a coffee, then I'll have a tea, and I mix between the two, but I reckon I'm drinking 8 or 9 cups a day.
No, I would drink it. So literally, I'd got a new coffee machine at home, bean to cup coffee machine. I'd get up in the morning and have one. If time allowed, I'd have two. I'd then go to work, and literally, people would just be bringing me coffee into my...
His servants.
Yeah, into my office. Or, like, for instance, if we were in a meeting, then there'd be, you know, coffee there to have, or whatever it is. And obviously, I wanted to cut back on my milk and stuff like that, so I just went black coffee. And then, obviously, I got home, coffee machine would be on. Yeah, that's why I made the decision then. I was like, hang fire a minute. I was starting to get to a point where I was feeling a bit funny in the day, you know, like towards end of a day.
Almost a bit shaky.
Yeah, like as though it were, and it was somebody that said to me, he says, maybe you're having too much caffeine, maybe. And that's why I decided to cut back. And then, like Mark says, we were talking to...
Me?
Other one. I was talking to Mark and he was saying, oh, I've done the same. That's when we realised we'd both done the same thing.
Yeah.
But I couldn't...
I mean, I weren't drinking anything of the quantity that you were. I mean, I drink probably, I don't know, between 6 and maybe not quite 10 a day. But I'd certainly say 6 cups a day of coffee.
What about you, Mark?
Well, I drink maybe about sometimes as least as 4 a day. Sometimes
that's
maybe
tea, though, that isn't it?
Tea. I never drink coffee.
No.
I don't touch coffee at all. And maybe sometimes 6 or 7. I mean, my brother Gary, he drinks probably about same as you, Kurt.
Look,
about
30, I'd rather drink
30
cat
cups
piss than
a day.
Drink tea.
Yeah, no, I do like tea, but it's got to be made right.
The safe zone is 5, apparently. Any more than any?
Hang on. The safe zone. So any more than that, are you in danger?
Yeah.
What?
Any more than 5 cups of coffee or tea a day is classed as excessive.
Dangerous.
Yeah.
What?
Wow.
Yeah. At least I'm in the safe zone, so I'm okay.
this is my problem, though, isn't it? That, you know, when I consider myself to genuinely have an addictive personality. Now, I know that a lot of people might say that is something that's banded around, if you like. But if you look at everything to do with my life, whether it be food, we've spoke about that enough in the past, coffee, you know, it's not just an average person might drink 2-3 cups a day, or then someone that drinks quite a bit of coffee might drink 6-8 cups. I don't. I drink 30. I remember when I worked at a nightclub in the past, and it's when Red Bull were just starting to make a break into the UK in nightclubs and stuff. So they wanted to sponsor the club, and they ended up delivering pallets of Red Bull free to the club. So for us to sell or give away or whatever it is. And there were literally pallets of it, pallets and pallets and pallets and pallets of it. So literally the manager of the club at the time said, right, if anyone ever wants a drink or anything like that, don't drink anything else, get Red Bull. It's not costing us anything. So if you want a drink, get on. I bet I were drinking 40, 50 cans of Red Bull a day.
Jesus.
Now, bear in mind, these are back in the days when I was working 16 and 17 hours a day, 6 days a week.
Yeah.
So I probably needed it.
You needed it.
But when I stopped working there and I came away from there, I suffered almost like that withdrawal from it.
Yeah.
You know, smoking. You know, I smoked. For most of life, I vape now or whatever, but smoking. I know that I've got to be careful if I go into gambling. I have once stood there in a snooker hall in Riley's at 2 o'clock in the morning and put £1,000 in a fruit machine.
Wow.
Oh, how much did you win?
Well, that we
2,000?
No, it was like £1,000 in total. So it was just literally, well,
what you were
winning,
you were winning.
It would have been more than £1,000 because I started off with £1,000 in my bank and left empty.
And what was driving that? What was the, like, I'm going to put more in?
Well, I was in a bit of a bad way at the time, so that didn't help. But you know, I'd got a lot going off and it was just escapism. But that, but this is what I mean about how I do have to be careful. I have to be careful that I desperately want to go to Vegas. I do, for everything, for all that Vegas has to offer.
Probably the last place on earth you need to go, innit?
Do you know what I mean? But I know I have to be careful with that. And when people go, well, just go to Vegas and don't gamble, it ain't going to happen. It's not going to happen. Yeah. So therefore, it needs to be managed. So would I say that I'm addicted to gambling? No. Would I say that I'm addicted to caffeine? No, not now. No, you know, or anything like that? No. I'm addicted to nicotine, obviously. But do I know I have to be careful about things? Mm. Yes. Yes, I do. And I genuinely have to consider that.
I think I'd agree with that, in that I've got quite an addictive personality, I think. And I'm grateful that I haven't ever really got into gambling of any sort, be it a Saturday football match or, Sunday football match and putting a bet on, horse racing and stuff like that. The things that are not typically going into a casino, but just putting a little fleuré on something and it becoming that, I'm going to put another one on because I might win
fleuré?
That money back.
Yeah.
Did you say fleuré?
But is that the wrong, is it the wrong word?
I was sat here thinking, did he say fleuré?
Are you talking about cauliflower?
is it the wrong word?
Flurry.
Flurry. Oh, a flurry.
Or
yeah.
Flutter.
Having a McFlurry.
It's definitely a flutter.
Flutter. Sorry,
flutter. A flurry is something you get from McDonald's if the machine's working.
I was thinking the same. In fact, I think I just said it. But yeah, I don't have that. I've just never done it. And I'm grateful that I haven't, because I do know guys that I've seen doing it. You can see that it's just, some of these apps that you get on your phone now for gambling that are through Bet365 or Paddy's or whatever they are, you can see it happening, and you can see how it just consumes them. And I'm grateful I haven't ever got into it, because if I'd started doing it, I could imagine that I would not know where the boundary is to stop.
Well, I have a bit of an issue with these, now you've mentioned it.
No.
With what?
With how easy it is to gamble.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I agree.
Literally, it's in your hand.
Yeah,
and I'm interested to know what you guys think of it, because I really have a bit of an issue. You know that I've spoke about it before on previous episodes about what should be controlled and what shouldn't be controlled, and what should be monitored and what shouldn't be monitored.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a bit of an issue where we tend to pick and choose what this looks like in this country.
Oh, right. I thought you meant we.
In this country, we tend to pick and choose. So, like, for instance, cigarettes aren't allowed to be advertised anywhere or even spoke about.
Yeah.
Probably going to be cancelled just talking about it now.
Even vapes now, I think, as well, aren't they?
Yeah, sort of thing. Which, fine. I'm not saying they're good. They're bad for your health.
Yeah.
Absolutely. 100%. Okay. But, alcohol, legal, can't walk down the street without a pub or a bar or shops being able to, sell bulk alcohol and blah, blah, blah.
With plenty of adverts advertising it.
Yeah. You've then got...
I think I've got the answer to that, but carry on.
You've then got... Go on, then.
When I said the answer, I'm not saying it's right, I'm just saying it's the answer. I think the problem we have is as humans, this connection we have with beer is because of the pubs and the socialising. Now, I know you can socialise with smoking, but you can't as easily socialise as you can with smoking, you can with drinking. So I'm not saying it's right, but you take away alcohol or you start banning it, then basically all pubs are shut down.
But a lot of people would say that the smoking ban hurt pubs.
Well, it did.
It did, massively.
It did.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, I think as we all know, pubs are shutting down at a huge rate. I think 50 pubs a week are so shutting down. And that's obviously not to do with people not drinking. It's to do with cost and so forth. But if you start taking pubs away, then you're losing that people how to socialise. And I think our generation, we've been brought up where you socialise through, you go to a pub. But I think the younger generation, they're drinking less and they're socialising more in coffee houses and
why
places
would it make
like
it
that.
All right to advertise the fact that you should be doing it, or it's okay to do it? Yeah.
Well, I think
Well,
I think the reason why it's still in place is because it connects to the pubs. Because we don't have places you go to smoke, do you? You don't go, I'm off to this place to just sit and smoke. You go, but you can go to a place where you can drink, i.e. a pub.
So what would your guys' reaction be if the government announced tomorrow that they were making alcohol illegal?
Well, obviously, we'd be shocked, wouldn't we? They wouldn't do it.
There'd have been once upon a time when someone would have answered that about smoking.
I mean, I get what you're saying as well. Because
you have to remember, it's been done before.
I understand. I think there's a difference between something that can be passively dangerous and something that is just, you know, potentially dangerous to the person who's consuming. Smoking, you know, you walked into a room and it was just like a blue haze of, you know, anybody that was in the vicinity. You know, children, people who didn't smoke, we're all going to be affected by it. Whereas drinking, you know, if you're not consuming it, unless somebody has one too many and decides they want to, you know...
I think there's a lot of police officers that disagree.
Maybe so, but they won't be teetotal police officers.
No, I'm not sat here saying drinking's wrong. I'm not saying that.
I get what you're saying as well, Kurt, because I wouldn't necessarily agree with it, but I'd understand where you're coming from, because for the same token that I... personally don't think that marijuana should be illegal. So I would be under the same train of thought, well, if that is legal, then why shouldn't that be legal?
I think the
it's passive, isn't it? If you were smoking marijuana somewhere, it would be passive.
I think it's different with things like cannabis, because it's obviously a drug, we know that. Such as alcohol, yes, you can brew it yourself, but to mass produce it, you would have to be almost on a commercial grade, you know, scale, wouldn't you, to be able to distribute it illegally, for want of a better term, or non-taxed, you know. Whereas something like marijuana, if they legalised it, anybody with a greenhouse, a loft, or any sort of space could grow it to sell it. The government's not going to get any tax on it. So you could argue that that's the reason why it's never been legalised, is because if you take the control away, then everybody could mass produce something that the government really don't get a slice of.
But they're not getting a slice of it anyway, even now, are they?
Well, so people are doing it now.
Yeah, that's right, and that's why it's illegal. That they're controlling it. But if they took the lid off it,
yeah, but you could still have
if they legalise it to sell it, and people could grow it themselves, then why would anybody ever go and buy it?
Yeah, you could. But what I'm saying is, if we're talking about the law and the actual legal standings of it, you could make it legal to consume and illegal to grow and distribute.
Could you imagine trying to decipher the two? If it was legal to have it on your body, upon you, but not know that whether you've grown it yourself or whether you bought it from a shop. Do you know what I mean? And I think that's where the control element would go out the window for the government.
And what was the point that you were going to make, Kirk, going towards the fact that why should that be okay, the drink and the smoking, but yet gambling isn't?
Well, no, I think that this is yes, you're right. That's what I was kind of getting at, that I feel as though it's a little bit... I don't want to say double standards, because I don't want to say that... I understand that smoking is bad for you. End of story. I get that. And I get that we should try be moving in a way that protects people as much as possible. Okay? But it's as though now when it comes to smoking or vaping or whatever, it's almost really frowned upon, really looked down upon, you know, really, it's practically impossible now to, you know, you're not allowed to show the cigarettes, you're not allowed to show that you advertise cigarettes, you're not allowed to show, you know.
Yeah, I get what
you mean. I think they're still trying to pass a law where literally, I think anyone over, whoever was born now, whoever's 14 or younger, will never be able to buy a packet of cigarettes legally.
Yeah.
know, and I think there's a lot of people in the country, if you like, that would go, yeah, too right, smoking, it's wrong, and it's dangerous, and it's this, and it's that, and blah, blah, blah. And then they pick up and crack open a can. And then I sit there and go, hang fire a minute. That's, you know, when you look at the increase of heart disease, you know, liver issues, kidney issues, you know, whether it comes to weight issues and stuff like that, which all can be linked back to alcohol, yeah? Like you've mentioned there, you can make your own alcohol. You've got people selling dodgy alcohol. You've got people, you know, all sorts of different things that is the same. That it still causes social issues. It causes social disturbances. It causes, you know, a drain on the police force, a drain on the NHS, a drain on... But it's almost like, oh, no, don't attack alcohol.
Yeah.
You know, you can't say anything bad about that. You know, and then you'd start talking about gambling, and you go, these people that have literally lost their homes and lives due to gambling addiction.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, you can watch TV and go, oh, Paddy Power, you know, download it to your phone for free. And you know what we're going to do? We're going to give you some free money to come and gamble on our sites. And it's on you. It's in your hand there. Do it now. We're going to give you free money to do this.
Yeah.
And I just kind of sit there and I go, then, sorry, Mark, I'll stop in a minute. Yeah. But then like you've just said then, Rob, they go, right, okay, well, fine. Let's legalise cannabis. Oh, no, you can't do that. It won't work. Well, that's funny because it works in other countries. It works in California. It works in Amsterdam. It works in... Do you know what I mean?
I get where you're going with it now. It's the double standards of... In one area, they're actually not just promoting it. Well, yeah, they're promoting it. It's not just that.
Encouraging it.
Yeah.
I think with the gambling... I mean, you're right. The gambling... I think what's happened... What the gambling companies are doing is exactly what the tobacconist companies did in the 80s. So, like, my mum and dad had a paper shop. And, above the door...
Did they ever blow down?
It blew away in wind once. I think they had Regal above the shop, yeah. You know. Yeah. They had Benson Edges down the side, and then inside they had sort of, you know, loads of like ashtrays and packs of cards and pens, all with, you know, Benson Edges on it and Regal and stuff like that. And they did what the gambling companies are doing now, where they had this stronghold on it. And of course,
Didn't they even used to put things in the cigarette packets, like you'd get, like with you collected?
Cards. And you could trade them into stuff like
get a toaster. Yeah. 20,000 cards.
Yeah.
So it costs you 40 grand or something for a toaster.
And half your life.
Yeah.
So that's how it used to be with cigarettes and stuff. And then, of course, they monopolised it and people got, you know. And that's what the betting companies are doing now, or they've certainly done it last 3, 4, 5 years. And you look at some of Rich's people, particularly in the UK, there's a woman, I think, who owns... Is it Betfred or whatever?
Bet 365.
Yeah, I think it might be Bet 365.
She started off in a garden shed.
Yeah, she only started. I think she only started maybe 8, 10 years ago or something. But the point is that they're getting too big for the boots. And like you said, Kurt, they're taking, you know, with football matches and advertising and apps. And I think it's going to get to a point a bit like what the cigarette companies did. They're going, right, okay, we're gonna take over everything and we're big for his boots and get all this money. But what's going to happen is that the betting companies are going to go exactly the same, and the governments are going to go, no, this has got to stop.
Well, I think that's
what's going to happen.
They have started reining it in, haven't they? They've started.
Well, haven't they done something with football or something?
Yeah, more controls in when they can advertise, what they can advertise, putting in the
Gamble Aware
stuff. Yep. And all, yeah. So the
Gamble Aware, I think, it's a throwaway toe. It's not going to do anything. Putting that on.
Well, do you think that's just something that ticks a box?
A token
to it's
say,
a tick a box thing.
We're putting that on so that anyone knows they've got help if
they
need
it. That's not going to help anyone. Someone who's got loads of debts, they're not going to go, well, it's okay, we've got this Gamble Aware thing on. It's not. It's like drink responsibly on alcohol. It makes no difference. It's just a tick box exercise. Mm.
And they do also now, these apps, they have limits that you can set and stuff that you can get other people to set passwords and stuff so that you can't use those apps outside of a certain limit. Is that right?
Yeah, but it's all controlled by yourself.
Right.
So you can add in a limit. You can add in a break thing.
You can
add in a password.
I got an email from, it's not Camelot now, is it? But the National Lottery.
Alwyn.
Is that what it is?
That's what they call it.
But it's the National Lottery. Got an email through because obviously the Euro Millions over this last 3 or 4 weeks, it's like it's rolled over, hasn't it?
Yeah,
it's been 100 million or whatever.
Yep.
And I'd had 3 goes in the month, so 30 quid or whatever it were.
30 quid? 3 goes? You know, it's only £2.50 a ticket, don't you?
Yeah, but I have 4 goes when I have because I've got lots of save numbers and I have 2 lucky dips. So I had 3 attempts.
A bonanza, right, okay.
Yeah, exactly. But so obviously that must have triggered something because they'll have seen a spike in what I would normally put on.
Okay.
So I'd only ever have a go if it was, you know, that sort of large number, and I'd be like, oh, well, I'll have a go on that.
I mean,
and then they'd obviously seen the spike, and then they'd sent me a thing through asking me if I wanted to do a self-assessment, and I was like, crikey, it's only 30 quid.
I mean, these things that Rob's talked about, you know, with these having these self, the only things you set yourself, and again, in my opinion, they're just the tools what the industry set to go, look, we're doing our bit. Well, they're not, because it's down to the person. If the person wants to gamble, then they're going to gamble. So, again, they're just things that companies are doing as a tick box exercise, you know, and it needs governments and regulation.
I'm not so... I think there always has to be an element of self-control. We could all go hell-bent on anything we wanted
I agree with you. But an app with saying tick this box if you want only want to spend £50 a day, that's not going to help your self-control.
No, but there will be something within that will flag up once you're spending a certain amount of money get an alert will come up and say, hang on a minute, do you know you've spent this?
But that person will just go in there and just go, I'll change that. I'll change it to 100. I think.
Look, you guys know full well that I'm not a big fan of regulation. I'm not sat here saying that should be more regulated or whatever. What I'm saying is why do we get to a point where one thing is heavily regulated, you know, to the point of extinction?
It's cigarettes.
And the other side is not, or on the face of it, not really regulated that much.
Yeah.
You know, when what they're saying is the outcome is the same. It's dangerous.
You're right. You're absolutely right. I agree with you. Like I said, the drinking is because of the social side of it. Because we socialise because of alcohol.
It's a culture thing.
It will change with time because, as I said, younger people are drinking less than they've ever done. They don't socialise like we used to do in pubs. They do different things now. So with time...
You could actually argue that pubs closing has had a downward effect on the social aspect. And, you know, people saying that communities are becoming a bit more fragmented.
Because these
hubs, if you like, that used to be community spaces, are no longer there.
Exactly. And I think students are drinking less, you know, they don't do it, don't you know. So are I think they? That, in studies, students are drinking less. They don't want to do one of these pub crawls.
People are drinking, according to studies and everything, people are drinking less.
Is that because it's more expensive or... I think it's
a combination. It's expensive, but they want to do different things. It's a different culture.
I think culture's a big thing. I'm not going to change course topic.
Hang on, Rob. Let me just finish up. So I think that's the reason why, again, I'm not saying it makes it right, but I think that's the reason why we don't touch alcohol, like you said earlier. That's why I think as a society we go, no, leave alcohol. Although it does cause us problems, there's health issues, it causes problems for the police, you know, when people get drunk and stuff. But because we use it to socialise, well, should we go out? Yeah, automatically you go, should we go for a drink? Mm. All right, you might take a meal in, but it involves drinking. As opposed to smoking or gambling, you don't go out, let's go out and gamble for tonight. I mean, okay, there's races and stuff, but... You know, but I think that's the reason why it goes under the radar, I think, alcohol. Because it's a social thing. Go on, Rob, what were you going to say?
I forgot. No, I haven't. I was going to say that the difference is now is that with younger people, for instance, like smoking, is because they're not growing up with it, surrounded by it, and not growing up seeing cigarette advertised everywhere. And even if you go into a shop and you look at behind the counter and you can't see it anymore, it's just not part of their culture. It's not part of their, not everyone around them that they know of all smokes. So it's not something that they grow up thinking, I'm going to smoke because I want to be like them. It's ever been cool. Well, actually it has.
It was cool.
And so 50s. I think that's the reason why. And drink's the same. You know, although it's seen as a sociable thing, it's not deemed what it was back in the day, I think. No. But I think what's also interesting is that when we talk about addiction, we automatically think of drugs, alcohol, and smoking and the likes. Mm. But these days now, there's so many more things that people are getting addicted to, aren't they?
Yeah.
Social media.
Well, there's a reason why they've built things like screen time into phones, because people are absolutely addicted to scrolling, aren't
they? Do you
know,
it's the one on your phone is called Nophomania. Is it Nophomania? I'm sure it is. Hold on.
Nymphomania?
No, that's
a bit different, that one.
People get addicted to
Nomophobia.
Nomophobia?
Nomophobia.
Garden gnomes? Is that what?
Scared of gnomes.
That's the recent phenomenon where people are addicted to their phones in general.
Yeah.
So it's not necessarily social media, it's just being on their phone. It might be messaging the friends or, you know, going on apps, playing games on the phone, whatever it is. Nomophobia is a new phenomenon that they're saying is a new addiction that obviously didn't exist all those years ago.
Sex
addiction is a massive one now.
Huge,
you know, which I imagine, I don't know, I might be wrong here, but I'm guessing has a lot to do with the access to porn.
Yeah.
Do you know, because back in the day, I don't know, going down
to get a magazine
Nobby
from Top
Store,
Shelf
and getting a DVD or whatever, or a VHS, We're just, you know, that whole process is so much harder than just going on your phone and within seconds you're viewing porn.
I mean, it's almost like one I'm talking about pubs and drinking and younger people going away from drinking, but you know, where one thing disappears, another comes into the place. So like younger people are more addicted to social media and the phones, as opposed to older people are more probably addicted to, if you want to use that, drinking. You know, it's a generation thing.
It all comes back to the same thing, though, doesn't it? You never start out to get addicted to it. For instance, and I'm going to go back to it because it is so relevant to
sex.
Us. Yeah, sex addiction. You don't think, oh, I'm going
to
watch a...
Relevant
I'm
going to watch to a, us.
I'm going
to
watch a...
well, I'm wondering where he's going with this.
Mark's struggling with this conversation.
Yeah, I know, but
for the benefit of the tape, Mark's not looking impressed.
If you watched a porn video at some point, you didn't think... I'm going to watch another one tomorrow. I'm going to watch another one today. And it's spiraling like that. No one ever does that for that reason. They do it because they might have got a hit.
Do you want to plug your phone in?
You are.
You want to plug your phone in.
Your battery's low.
Your search is straight.
You know, you don't start off like that, but that's obviously how it starts.
Absolutely.
And then people just get consumed by it and watch more and more before it then becomes an addiction. I'm sure sex addiction is more than just porn, but you get what I mean, don't you?
Absolutely, I get what you mean.
I can't remember it now. But the other one, another one that's more modern now, gaming. Yeah. On mobile phones, but gaming in general, and how people use it as an escape from real life, and being able to go on there and win and get that endorphin release from winning something or surviving something or whatever it is,
or being the best at it.
Absolutely. And the time that you spend on it, you don't go on a game thinking I'm going to spend 9 hours in one hit, which I think is probably nowhere near the amount of times that some people are spending on these games in one hit. But you don't go on there thinking I'm going to do that, but
it just runs away with you next thing, 5 hours has gone
and
by.
You get so far in a game and it's, I need to go back on that game and get a bit further and get a bit further.
People ringing sick to work and then or whatever, and it absolutely is. But it goes back to my point that there are so many things out there that are causing problems, whether it be nomophobia or whether it be access to things online, whether it be drink, gambling or whatever. But yet we don't seem to take any kind of hard line with it.
No.
But yet people turn around and say, oh, marijuana. We go, oh, no, that's it, that's the devil.
It's already illegal, isn't it?
Yes.
You're talking about changing something that's already illegal. There's no, I'm not arguing one way or the other. What you're talking about are all these things that are already legal, illegalising them or controlling them. Whereas something that's already illegal, it's already a controlled substance, so that's the top and bottom of it. The argument as to whether it should be or not, is people's opinions will differ, and you could say, well, yes, it should because it's got medicinal things, and other people would say, well, no, you shouldn't because of X and Y, and there isn't probably a right answer.
Can I ask how you would all vote if it came to it?
Oh, on which one?
On legalising cannabis.
I would be pro.
I would too. I would legalise it and regulate it.
I'm indifferent.
Me too.
If there was any downside to it for me, it's the smell, I think. And which is quite
odd.
Well,
I'm sure we could put an orange smell to it, can't we?
If I'm at a music festival and I can smell it, I think I'm at a music festival and that's what people do. Yeah. So it doesn't bother me. But if I'm walking down the shops and I can smell it, I'm like, really?
So there's a time and a place for it. Is that basically what you're saying?
Yeah, isn't it? If I'm like, you'll go to like a shopping precinct or whatever and you can smell it and you're like, Jesus Christ, that stinks.
There's nothing wrong with that. It's like, if you're in a nightclub and there's drunk people around, do you go with it? It's in a nightclub, but you don't want to go to a supermarket and drunk people.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And I suppose that's where these cafes or whatever, coffee shops in Amsterdam, I've never been, but that's what I can assume, that you go in there and that's what you expect, but you probably won't see it walking down the street. I'm not so sure.
But also, do you think if it was legalised, that, I'm not saying there's not already enough money in it, because there's a lot of money in marijuana and any drug, but do you not think that if it was commercialised, that there would then be an emphasis on spending more money to develop the drug, to make it more... lower strengths, so not quite CBD, but so that it's actually able to be. Do you know what I mean?
That'd be like people getting into drinking and
well, let me give you an example. 20-30 years ago, would you have ever thought that we would be all wanting to buy, or people would be buying 0% alcohol?
This is what I was just about to talk about. So good point. That's a choice, isn't it? And people that are smoking cannabis aren't doing it because they like the taste of it.
No, but I might say that I wouldn't mind having, for want of a better word, a joint, you know, at some point, and going, well, I don't want to get absolutely stoned off my face, but I wouldn't mind feeling a bit of what it feels like to have had it.
Experimenting with it.
Yeah, to have a bit of it, but not much. I don't know anything about, I'm not enough about marijuana to go, well, is there different strengths? What's the name of that strength versus that strength?
I think there are. I mean, I'm not, like I said, I've never smoked.
There are.
And that's exactly what it's like. That already exists.
That's exactly like, sorry, Mark, but that's exactly like what Amsterdam's like. You walk into a shop and you literally have different strengths, different, you know, just for, I'd love to take Mark to Amsterdam.
Oh, absolutely.
Not for the drugs.
Me.
No, hey, just for the shop windows.
No, one.
You're not taking me there.
We could all go. In fact.
Chatting on tour.
We could go on there, couldn't we? Mark would love it.
I would love to see your face walking around them windows.
I'm changing the subject slightly, but we're still talking about addiction to some degree. But
I dread to think what's about to come out of your mouth.
No, it's not.
This horse, right?
It's not addiction generally, but we're talking about people being addicted to it. So I'm going to say that governments in the last couple of weeks have announced that they're going to ban adverts. I've got to think, adverts for children before 9 o'clock for like fast food and stuff.
All right.
So it comes into, I think next October it comes into play, or next summer. But anyway, the point is, it's about children being watching these adverts for McDonald's during the day, you know. What's your thoughts on, I mean, it's coming in, they're doing it, so do you think that's a good thing or a bad thing?
I do think it's a good thing. I don't want to go back into the realms of talking about food like we have done in previous episodes, but we are in the middle of an epidemic where people talk about fast foods and becoming almost one of their, you know, it's a commonplace for people to have fast food, isn't it now?
Yeah.
They'll have one a day, two a day, whatever. And it's like, I do think that's become a bit of an epidemic. Where
it's just a shame there's not more healthy fast food options.
Well, this is, I would just sat here now thinking, I wouldn't say I agree or disagree, to be honest, because again, I feel as though it's an easy way out. Let's blame the supplier of it, you know, and let's put more restrictions and limitations on the supply of it, as opposed to concentrating on hang firing it. What can we do to counter it? What can we do to put in place to make sure that healthier options are cheaper, that fresh food is cheaper?
Healthier options are so bloody expensive.
This is what I mean.
I think we could make another episode about food. Yeah, and, you know, absolutely, we could. The reason I brought it up, we're obviously children seeing the adverts during the day, and of course getting addicted to it. McDonald's, you know, KFC, blah 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 blah. Because obviously they're all going to. So we won't see any of these adverts during the day at all from next year. They will all be after 9 o'clock. And of course we're talking about children here. So there's adults, you've got, but children don't have that same willpower as us. They just, you know what I mean. So, but I think it is for another episode.
Wrong. Places are starting to do healthier options, like your McDonald's. They offer carrot sticks instead of fries and stuff like that. But it just would be nice to have other options that you can, if like on the way here tonight at the pub, I went and had a KFC because I was in a rush and I wanted something to eat. I didn't particularly want anything unhealthy, but there was no option. So I just had a KFC, do you know what I mean? Mm. And it just would be nice to have that option. And I guess that's with a lot of things when you're talking about this. It's having options that you don't always get when it's so, you know, regimented.
Absolutely.
I've got one more question based on this.
Oh, go on.
If you did have an addiction to somewhere, would you know where to go to get help? Do you think that's pushed enough? I know we've talked about Gamble Aware.
That's a good question.
Know where to go? Do you think that's pushed enough?
I don't know, because I've never had to seek it. No. I mean, my answer would be that I suppose you go online, and I'm guessing there are probably a lot of things that come up online.
We
to
know
do
about
with
Andy's
it.
Man Club. If there was, you know, like if you wanted somewhere to go and talk about
for it. For me, it'd just be local. It'd be somebody I knew I'd talk to. Helen, for example. Do you know what I mean? Mm. I think
you're talking about professional help, though, aren't you, Bob?
But what I mean is that those doors would, you know, people would make you aware of those, because the people would know around you, I think. Mm. So, well, I said they would know. It depends on what it is that you're addicted to, doesn't it? Because if it is gambling, you might hide you might hide certain things, and then that might grow itself. But certainly, I don't know. I think it's quite a difficult question.
My worry is, do you know that you're addicted? Or do you, are we self-aware enough to know that we're addicted, to therefore know that we need to get help?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's the biggest question that somebody has to answer, isn't it?
Yeah.
About that self-realisation.
Yeah.
You know, you could ask yourself the question, are you addicted to alcohol, for instance? Yeah?
Yeah.
And then say, and that person goes, no, I'm not addicted to alcohol. You know, and then you follow that up with saying, okay, so can you go a month without it?
Yeah.
You know, the problem comes is when that person goes, well, I could, but I don't want to. Yeah. That's when you start to go, okay, do you not want to?
The drinking and the smoking thing, I think, you know, you can't smoke in moderation. That's the point, I think, with smoking. You can't have two fags a week and go, well, it'll be all right, because I don't think it will be. But I think, I mean, I drink very, very little. Last time I had a drink was probably a month ago. So I don't drink much at all. So, but I don't think if I have four pints tonight, I think that'll be relatively okay. So I think that's the reason with smoking and, or that's the reason why we have this perception or this relationship with smoking and, you know, if you take those two. Because smoking, drinking you can do in moderation. But all the other things you can't. Well, gambling you can do in moderation, you can. Eating, KFC in moderation, you can. But smoking, you can't.
If you're in control of it, yeah.
And being in control is one of the biggest things with being addicted to things, control. Because if you're in control of it, I mean, I gamble a little bit, I drink a little bit, you know. I don't smoke a little bit. But
sex a little bit?
You know, yeah, it's all moderation. You know what I mean? So it's all alive.
Listen, all I can think about now is Pornhub giving you an option to watch Friends instead of watching one of the videos.
And on that note, did you know if you Google Friends, and then if you just search on Google type in Friends, and then the character name, each one comes up with a little picture of the person, and on the right hand side there's an icon.
Yeah,
click on the icon. Have you done it?
I've only done one of them. I thought it applied to Ross, and it's a couch. And you press the couch, and the screen goes lopsided.
Well, you can press it about two or three times, that one, and it goes the other way.
It keeps moving.
Well, you can do it for all of them.
I didn't know that. Yeah.
What does it do?
I'm not going to tell you, because I think you know yourself and the listeners.
Yep. So you go on Google.
Type in friends. Type in then
Chandler,
Ross, or whoever, Rachel, Chandler, or whatever, and there'll be a little icon that comes up next to that in the corner. One is a picture of a couch, one's a picture of a guitar, one's a picture of a bucket, I think. And you click on it and what's
marvellous.
Why is that a thing though? Why
I think it was
Google's doing it.
It was something to celebrate the 25th or 30th anniversary or whatever when it first started.
I love daft stuff like that though.
Yeah.
It's nice.
I love it. Somebody's took the effort to make that.
I love
a Google Doodle.
Yeah. Well, it's obviously built within Google, so it's not like a separate website. It's actually literally Google. Yeah. And like when I did Ross's name,
you say Google weird.
Google. I know. I do. My son says that. Ethan says
he says every bloody thing weird.
Hang on a minute. Human.
Yeah, anyway, the Ross thing and the screen goes like website. It's really weird. But yeah.
Time at the bar, please.
Brilliant. Are you ready for something else a bit daft?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, it's spinning.
What's it going to be?
Oh, I'm just so excited. Come on. He's nearly there.
The Wheel of Features.
So last week's then was What the Bloody Hell Is That?
Yep.
Okay, I'll remind you what it sounded like. One more. So, what do you think it is?
Well, I think I said it were an old VHS or a cassette player button being pressed and it ejecting the cassette deck thing.
Yeah.
Or something like that, or Walkman or something like that.
Kirk? I think.
Come back to me.
Other Mark?
Mm-hmm. You've caught me off guard now because I were expecting Kirk to say something before I was on.
Do you not think it's that? It's easy, surely.
It does sound like somebody pressing play or stop.
It's an eject board on a Walkman or somewhere. It's easy that.
I'm trying to think of an alternative.
Well, it's a washing machine. Come on. It's easy.
I think it sounds more like something being, for the want of a better term, cocked. Like something being...
What?
Like
that's what you said last week.
Is it?
Yeah.
I've slept since then.
What are you saying, Kirk?
Well, like you would do, like something being pulled back and locked into place.
Right. I didn't hear what you said. I'm sorry. Yeah, right.
Go on, Mark. I've one guess.
Play it again.
Not having it any more times.
No, no.
Is it a microwave button?
You've had your go.
Oh, okay. I've got loads. I can keep them coming. Come on, Mark.
It sounds to me like something locking or unlocking.
All right.
Right. Yeah. Well, I can tell you that none of you are right.
Oh, marvellous.
And as far as I'm aware, if any of our listeners have guessed it, they haven't written in and told us. So it will roll over to next week, I'm afraid.
Oh, brilliant. Okay.
Roll over. Okay.
So shall we spin the wheel?
Spin it.
Yeah, spin it.
Oh, here we go.
What's he going to be?
Yeah,
what's he
going to
be?
Here we go.
Jukebox Jam!
Hey, that's you, Rob!
Song downloading. Complete. Lyric analysis. Complete. AI Jukebox Jam, 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 Jam,
Jam, Jam.
Connection lost.
Okay, so I think you know by now, I've asked AI to describe the meaning of a very popular song, and this is what
song
it
came
out
with.
Well, you've got to tell me that. So let's see if you can guess it from the description. So, something by something celebrates youthful joy, freedom, and the thrill of dancing, capturing the euphoria of living in the moment. Something by someone celebrates youthful joy, freedom, and thrill of dancing, capturing the euphoria of living in the moment.
Good one.
It's a bit vague for me.
That's kind of the point.
Yeah, it's kind
I know,
of
but
the
it's
point.
Like, as in, it could be like...
I'm going to guess.
It could...
I'm in the mood for dancing.
Okay.
I ain't got a clue.
Mine's going to be really obvious. Footloose.
Oh.
Say, read guess. It again for me, Rob.
Last time. Something brain. By someone celebrates youthful joy, freedom, and the thrill of dancing, capturing the euphoria of living in the moment.
Footloose, that's a good guess.
It's a good call, that, Mark.
It is a good call, that. Mm. But...
Well, I'll tell you next week.
Right, brilliant.
All right.
Yeah,
then. All right. See you next week.
See you next week, boys.
See you, boys.
Bye. Thank you for your continued support with our independent podcast. Did you know that you can interact with us and other listeners on Facebook on the Chat In Tap Room Facebook group? You can also get in touch via email in the chat at gmail.com and, of course, on any of our socials. Thank you. And we'll see you next week.
Get everything for your next project at Menards and save big money. We carry everything to help you breathe easier. Allergen air filters help prevent seasonal allergy symptoms and improve your indoor air quality by capturing microparticles while allowing maximum airflow. Save big on Allergen air filters when you shop at Menards. View the weekly flyer and all of our great deals happening this week on Menards.com. Save big.